Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 18 years now we have been bringing these messages to you. And we thank the Lord for this day, the day before Christmas, Christmas Eve. And so we praise the Lord for this day. It's a day that He has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today we're going to be talking about the birth of Jesus, a bit of the Christmas story, and I'm sure you've been listening to the radio and listening to TV, seeing all the programs that have to do with the birth of Jesus, and I pray that you celebrate this Christmas season in a Christ-centered way, that you keep Jesus in mind, keep Him front and center in everything that you do here in this Christmas season, that He is the reason for the season. So we're going to start in Luke 2, the traditional Christmas story. Luke 2, open your Bible there, and we'll start in verse 1 here in just a minute. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host. Thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for listening. We're going to get into the message here on the Christmas story in just a minute. But first, I want to give you a brief update on what's going on here in Kenya, coming to you from Kenya today, live and in living color. And it's a beautiful day here in Kenya today. We're going to have about 88 degrees, clear sky today, no clouds in the sky. We're entering into the dry season now from now till about March the 1st. It's going to be pretty dry, and then it will kind of start to struggle to rain, and then eventually mid-March it'll be raining, and it'll rain from then until May. And so we have today a big market here in Mumias Town. Thousands and thousands of people come in from the countryside to sell their goods, sell produce, sell fruits and vegetables, and also clothing and handmade baskets, all the kind of things that you can imagine you could find in Africa. That's the big market not far from where I live. And so there's thousands of people, maybe 10, 20, 30,000 people over there at the market today, buying all the things they need for Christmas. Our children are doing well. We had a great celebration last week of our fifth anniversary celebration. The church was packed, had 200 to 300 people around there, couldn't fit another person in the church. And it was a glorious celebration. Cut a cake for the fifth anniversary of Living Water Church of Makunda. Also cut a cake for Pastor Zephaniah for his birthday. And also we had an ordination service for him, and I laid hands on him, anointed him with oil, and laid hands on him, and he is now ordained into the ministry under Gathered the Outcast Ministry and my home sending church in Kansas. And so we are blessed to have that in our repertoire, in our portfolio now as we go forth to minister here in Africa. So we praise the Lord for that. In the days ahead, we want to preach a crusade in January or February or someplace near here in Mumias, and then continue to expand the ministry and take care of the children. We have children's needs coming up, school fees, and you can stay tuned to the end of the broadcast for contact information. We'd love to hear from you in support of the children and the ministry here in Kenya. Well, in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, we're going to look at the traditional Christmas story. And I'm sure you've heard this 100 times, but it's always good to hear it again and remind us of the great historic event in the natural world and also the great historic event in the spiritual world that we give honor to at this time of year. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, that is the start of the Christmas story. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. That was the city of David. And David, of course, was the king of Israel back about 1,000 years before Jesus was born. David was the king of Israel. And David was promised that there would never be a lack, there would never be lack of somebody from his lineage, somebody from his offspring to sit on the throne of Israel, to sit on the house of Israel as king. And so Jesus was in that lineage. That was his family. They were living in Nazareth, which is up near the northern border of Israel at that time. So they went to Bethlehem to be registered and to be taxed. And also then they went there because that was the house from which they had come from. Well, Bethlehem wasn't just chosen out of a random thought in the mind of God. Bethlehem, even in the Old Testament, was prophesied that this is where the Messiah would be born. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of you, Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." And that is to mean the days of eternity. And so Jesus was born in this little town, old little town of Bethlehem. And that is the place where David was born. Bethlehem means house of bread. That is the birthplace of David. And so the prophecy was fulfilled that the son of David, which was that name was also given to Jesus, the son of David, he would be born in the same place as David. And David would never lack to have someone from his lineage, from David, over the nation of Israel. And verse 4 in Micah chapter 5, "And he, Jesus, shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth." Well, that sounds a bit like what we read last week in Isaiah chapter 9 and Isaiah chapter 7. And it says, "For he shall be great to the ends of the earth." Isaiah 9 said that the increase of his government shall never end. And we see that today, the increase of his government. It's all over Africa. It's all over India. It's all over China. It's in South America. The increase of his government is in America. And beloved, when you are on the side of Jesus Christ and you are on the side of Jehovah God, you're on the side that is going to increase and keep increasing and will eventually consume the whole world and take over the whole world, and you're going to be on the winning team. And so make sure that you get in that place where you're on the winning team. Well, in verse 5 of Micah chapter 5, "And the one, Jesus, shall be peace." I'm not going to read the rest of that verse 5. 800 years or 900 years, Micah the prophet was prophesying that Jesus Christ would be born, that he would be born in the nation, in the city of Bethlehem. And it came to pass just as the prophet said that it would. Well, praise God for that. All the prophecies in the Old Testament, up until this day in 2023, all of the prophecies in the Old Testament have come to pass that were intended to come to pass up until this point. There's still some prophecies that have not come to pass, but they will. And so you can mark that down. You can read through the book of Isaiah. You can read through the book of Jeremiah, the book of Ezekiel, all the minor prophets. There are still some prophecies given in those books that have not come to pass, that we have not seen in the natural here on this earth. But beloved, you can rest assured they will come to pass, because God is not a liar that he should lie, and therefore they will come to pass. Well, just to speak a few other Old Testament prophecies, the book of Isaiah is full of Old Testament prophecies regarding Jesus Christ and his birth and his coming and all of those things. And in Isaiah chapter 28 is a very interesting prophecy. And of course, Isaiah was speaking about 800 years before Jesus was born. And it says in Isaiah 28, verse 14, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men." This is the Holy Spirit speaking through Isaiah to the children of Israel. "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men, who rule this people who are in Jerusalem. Because you have said, 'We have made a covenant with death and with Sheol,' or with hell, we are in agreement when the overflowing scourge passes through. It will not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves." And so the Holy Spirit through Isaiah is saying, he's prophesying to the people of Israel, he's saying, "You've made a covenant with death." Well, in the same way, we have also made that covenant in the United States of America, in Kenya. We have made a covenant with death. You see death everywhere around you. People overdosing on drugs, fentanyl drugs, killing hundreds of thousands every year. And people dying in all kinds of ways. Suicides, one of the biggest causes of death among young people in America. And we have the same thing here in Kenya. The scourge of death, the pact with death that has been made in this country takes people off the roads in all kinds of grisly accidents, and people kill each other in all kinds of grisly ways. Not too much in terms of drug overdose here. We don't have that scourge here in Kenya, but we have lots of violence. Just in this very week, we had a murder out in Makunda Village, not far from the church, just a block or two from the church. And so the scourge of death is all over the earth, the scourge of death, because the devil has control of the earth. He is the ruler of this world. Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation, you will have trials, you will have struggles, you will have death." He said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but never mind," Jesus said, "I have overcome the world." In other words, through me, you can overcome the struggles, you can overcome that pact with Sheol, that pact with death through the devil. You can overcome that. You come to Jesus, you seek him, you love him, you serve him, you honor him, and you make him the captain and the Lord of your life. You will overcome that scourge of death. Death will have no power over you. Death, where is your sting? Because Jesus went to the cross and he shed his precious blood, and then he was resurrected 3 days later. And because of that, death no longer has sting over Jesus Christ. It no longer has sting over you. And as you walk on this earth, even now, even today, as you walk on this earth, you can experience the glory of Jesus. You can experience the glory of the heavenly kingdom in your life. You can experience that glory that comes from knowing Jesus Christ, Jehovah God, and the Holy Spirit, because God is with you. God is in you, and he abides in you through the Holy Spirit. And so you can come to know heaven on earth right here as you walk today. Well, Isaiah 28, verse 16, it says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation." Then this speaks of the birth of Jesus Christ. This isn't the church. This isn't the temple. This is Jesus Christ. "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And whoever believes will not act hastily. And I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plummet. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and waters will overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death will be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol," or with hell, "it will not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. As often as it goes out, it will take you, for morning by morning it will pass over, and by day and by night it will be a terror just to understand the report. So God let the people know through the prophet Isaiah that the scourge of death, the pact of death, the pact with Sheol, could be annulled through the blood of Jesus Christ, that precious cornerstone. And the same is true for us today. Beloved, if you're out there listening to me today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, make him your cornerstone this day. Make him the cornerstone, the foundation, the pillar of your life. Set your sights on him. Set your feet on him. He is the rock that is going to sustain you. He is the rock that is going to hold you up. He is the rock that is going to deliver you and set you free from the bondage of the evil one. He's going to set you free from that scourge of death and destruction. You don't have to worry about death when you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen after you die, because the minute that you close your eyes on this earth, you're going to be escorted by the angels into the presence of God and presence of Jesus and all of the saints that have gone on before you. And so you don't have to fear death. You can go forward in victory, and you can do things. You can do things in terms of works, and you can do exploits for the kingdom that you never could have imagined. You can do exceedingly abundantly, more than you can ever think or imagine, through the power of Jesus Christ in your life. Well, I'm going to flip over to Isaiah 59 here and speak some messages here from Isaiah 59. This is also a lot of prophetic words about Jesus Christ. And for those of you who don't know much about Isaiah, if you've not read through Isaiah, I suggest you do that, because it is just loaded with prophecy about the coming of our Lord and Savior, about his death, Isaiah 53, and other passages that are so powerful and speak so eloquently and in great detail about the life, death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to start in Isaiah 59, verse 16, and this speaks about the Lord. He was looking for a ransom. He was looking for somebody to pay for the sins of mankind. And in verse 16, it said, "The Lord Yahweh, he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him." And that speaks specifically of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was seated at the right hand of God from before the foundation of the world. Jesus was there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And so Jesus was there from the beginning. He was not created. At no time was he not there. And so God looked, he saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no intercessor. So his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. And he put on righteousness as a breastplate, a helmet of salvation on his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing. This speaks of the second coming, when Jesus is coming back to judge all mankind, judge the earth. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Well, that's a reference to back to Isaiah chapter 9 that we read last week. It said, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall accomplish this." And so the Lord has zeal. Beloved, when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you become a born-again believer in Jesus Christ and you receive that Holy Spirit, you're going to have a zeal that's going to put some life in your step. It will get you up off the church pew, or if you don't go to church, it'll get you up out of the sofa or out of the easy chair, and it will put a zeal in your step and a twinkle in your eye, and you're going to want to do something for the kingdom, because that zeal of the Lord of the hosts is going to be in you and propel you and move you. You're not going to be happy just sitting doing nothing. You're going to be propelled into the kingdom to do something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Well, you notice too, in that passage of scripture, it talks about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and the garments of the vengeance of clothing. Paul made reference to these pieces of the gospel armor, and they all represent Jesus Christ, and they were referenced in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, when Paul talks about garment, put on the gospel armor. He said, put on the armor and be ready to stand firm against the wiles of the evil one. And so this was prophesied here in Isaiah 800 years before the Apostle Paul spoke about it in Ephesians. And it said in verse 18, back to Isaiah 59, verse 18, according to their deeds, he will repay. This is speaking about the garments of vengeance, the return, the second advent, the return of Jesus. He will repay recompense to his enemies, and the coastlands he will fully repay. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. Jesus is coming back with the rising of the sun from the east. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, that is the Holy Spirit of the Lord, will lift up a standard against the enemy. And the Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. And I'm going to speak here in Isaiah 59, verse 21. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. And this is a picture of the Trinity right there. The Lord Yahweh, the Father God. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, who is upon you, and my words, which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. And so the Holy Spirit is putting the words in the mouth of Jesus Christ. He's putting the words in my mouth. He's putting the words in your mouth. When you speak the words of God, God's word will not come back void. That's why I keep preaching on the radio. That's why I keep preaching in the church and in the crusades. God's word will not come back to him void. It shall accomplish the purpose for which it's sent. And the words of God coming out of your mouth, beloved, if you're thinking or you're praying about being a pastor or an evangelist or a teacher or some office gift in the kingdom of God, if you're praying about that for your own life, understand this, that the power of God and his word in your life has the same power coming out of God's mouth, same powers coming out of Jesus' mouth, because God's word will not come back to him void. And so this word will be in your descendants' descendants, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. If the Lord doesn't come back, the word will keep ricocheting across the earth. It'll keep bouncing off the trees. Even the rocks themselves will speak the word. According to Jesus, Jesus said, if you don't speak it, the rocks are going to cry out. And so the word is going to come, and it's going to ricochet across the hills and the valleys of this earth. And the increase of his government, it shall never end. Well, praise God for that. The increase of his government here in Kenya, we're all about that. We're all about pushing the increase of his government across the villages of Kenya and the villages and the cities in East Africa. And so if you have an idea that you want to support this ministry, I ask you to pray about it. Pray about your part in supporting this ministry, and pray about your part in becoming a warrior in the kingdom of God. Well, Gather the Outcast has been in Africa working now for 13 years. In 1 week, we'll be into our 14th year of ministry here. Came here the first time in July of 2010. And I came because the Lord gave me a dream, and he showed me this is where he wanted me to come. He showed me he wanted me to preach to the African people. I had no idea to come to Africa. I had no desire to come here. Didn't know even one single person in all the 58 countries or however many in Africa. Didn't know one single person over here. But the Lord gave me a dream and showed me this is where he wanted me. And so I stayed open to that dream. I prayed about it. I said, Lord, if this is where you want me, I'm going to be obedient to come. And just a month or two after I received that dream, I received a call from an evangelist friend of mine in Florida. And he said, Jim, we're going to Nairobi with a big group of people from Vancouver, Washington. And we're going to preach in Nairobi, the different slums around Nairobi, and we're going to minister to the children in orphanages and minister to people in churches, and also finish up the mission trip with a big crusade in Uhuru Park in central Nairobi. And so that's what started me coming to Africa. That's what started my journey. And beloved, you've been a part of it. I thank you for listening each week. Thank you for your support, and thank you for praying for this ministry. We thank God for all the things that he has done through Gather the Outcast as we get ready to close this year, 2023, and look forward to another year serving the Lord God in Africa and through this radio broadcast. Well, stay tuned for contact information coming up here in just a minute. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.